Hello, and welcome to our Tuesday night Purium Health Products Business Training Conference Call. This is a members-only conference training. My name is Amy. I'm one of the owners and founders here at Purium Health Products, and I'm proud to announce we have David Litt, sales and marketing expert, with us on the line to teach us tonight how to convert no into yes. Very fascinating topic. I can't wait to hear the information. So welcome, Dave. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And let's just jump right in and hear what you have to say.
Well, thanks so much, Amy, for inviting me. And thanks to each and every one of you who are investing your most important asset, which is your time here with us this evening. And, yeah, we're going to be talking about turning no into yes, handling objections, talking to folks. And it's one of my favorite subjects. And it's something that I've done a lot of research and a lot of studying and have a lot of practical application, not only in network marketing but outside of network marketing. A partner of mine and myself were brought into Microsoft Corporation to help with this very subject, and the two of us combined knew very little about computers and software, and yet, you know, they asked us to help their sales force use their own best practices. So we learn from the best of the best, the top guns at Microsoft, as well as share a few insights. And so we're going to be talking about really some strategies and positioning and philosophy. I'm not a believer in scripts. People are way too complicated. How you know somebody, what they know about nutrition, what they know about business, are they an entrepreneur? All of those things are going to dramatically affect how you communicate with them, especially on the back end of a conversation. So when we talk about handling objections, the process that we use is prospects, invitation, presentation, and role. So you make your list of prospects. You invite them to try a sample of the product and to learn more about the business on the website. And then most of your conversation happens in the enroll piece of the conversation. They've tried the product, hopefully had a good experience. They've learned a little bit about the website, maybe listened to the three-minute sizzle call, got some information about Dave Sandoval, and really have an understanding that this is a complete line of products and a pretty interesting business opportunity. And now, they're mildly excited, very excited, but even somebody who's very excited has been trained to be skeptical. You know, when you walk down the grocery store aisle, you've got ads jumping off the shelves, you've got ads jumping off the floor, you've got ads jumping off the bathroom. So, people are skeptical to say yes even when they're enthusiastic. And so more often than not, they're going to have some objections. They're going to have some questions to put you to the test, because more than the $100 or so that it's going to cost them to start their business, it's going to be their reputation and their time that they're going to be concerned about. And so they want to make sure that they're putting in a good investment before they say yes. And so when we talk about strategies before we talk about scripts, number one strategy is selling is helping. So, in the traditional view of, being a salesperson, and I really want you to change that. And that was one of the things that the Microsoft Corporation found, was when they looked at their top salespeople were not necessarily the top presenters. They were almost invariably all the most empathetic, most helpful people that ask the best questions. And the person who's asking the questions is in control of the conversation. The person who's asking the questions is managing the conversations. And so if you are focused on your prospect's desired outcome, then you're going to be able to help them to understand what's going on and what they're trying to accomplish. And so, your job is really to paint a compelling picture of what Purium products can do. And if they have any questions or concerns, maybe to give them a different way of looking at it. And one of the things I like to state right up front from a philosophy standpoint is that even if somebody says no, they're never saying no to your opportunity. They're never saying no to your opportunity. And that's a pretty bold statement, but here's why. The reason that they may be saying no is because they're saying no that they can't see, they can't perceive that the opportunity fits into their timing and their current situation. So they're never saying no to you. They're never saying no to Purium. They're only saying no to Purium for them. And so that's one of the things that I want you to be feel satisfied about, is to know that you're probably going to get more no's than yeses, even if you're a super salesperson, and that when you do get some no's, that it really means nothing other than for them, they can't see the perception of what they're looking to get out of it, but it in no way weakens your opportunity and your relationship with this company and with this product. So, you know, sometimes people get emotional and they try to throw emotion at you to throw you off or just to back you off or in whatever way. And sometimes it's okay to say no to somebody else. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about getting yes, but I want to take right up front to talk about no's, and sometimes it's important to say no to somebody else. I owned a spa, and we had a couple of clients that were problems. And so for the benefits of my own staff, I said no to them. I fired them. And so for your own purposes, if you feel like a prospect is giving you challenges, if they're, you know, questioning everything you say and they're skeptical, they're never going to be successful. Not because of who you are, it's because of who they are. And so say no to them. You know, and if you're talking to more people, if you're saying less to more people, if you're putting more people through the pipeline and you have a lot of prospects, then you never really get attached to whether somebody says yes or no. So that, from a strategy standpoint, is helping people to look at things differently, make sure they have the information, try to help, try to be understanding and ask questions, be focused on trying to get to yes, but oftentimes people will say no for their own reasons, and you're okay with that, and you're going to move on. So that's, you know, from a big picture perspective, something that the Microsoft Corporation taught us and that we taught the Microsoft Corporation back, which was that's what the best salespeople do. That's what the best salespeople do, is they care about the outcome because they care about the person. But if the person can't see what they're presenting, and as long as they presented it well, then they should feel satisfied with the process. And, you know, I like to play poker, and there's sometimes where I play a poker hand exactly right, and because of luck, I end up losing the hand. And, you know, over time, if I continue to play the hands right, I'll make money. And so any one conversation that you have with somebody that doesn't get you the result that you want really is somewhat meaningless. I mean, as long as you continue to do what you're supposed to do, talk to lots of folks, and say things in the right way, then you're going to get good outcomes over the long run, and that's what we're looking for. So let's talk about some of the objections that people have. And so, you know, the one cornerstone of what we do in our pipeline process is we try to get samples into people's hands. So if somebody doesn't like the product, chances of them becoming an enthusiastic distributor is probably pretty limited. If they don't like Dave Sandoval, they don't, you know, they're skeptical about, you know, who he is or what he says or whatever, chances are they're not going to be a successful distributor. But I think more often than not, I know my own personal experience with the product, people will like the product, and my own personal experience with Dave, they're going to like Dave and who he is, but even still, they're going to have a handful of objections. So we're really talking about the people that genuinely are considering this opportunity, that genuinely want to help their health, that genuinely have a reason why they're looking at this business for a financial perspective, and they're trying to evaluate. They're trying to do their due diligence. And so the four objections that I hear more often than not, number one is this one of those MLM deals? Is this network marketing? Is this a pyramid? Is this a get-rich-quick scheme? Is this like Amway? So we're going to cover that one and talk about, you know, what you can say that might help. The second one is, I'm too busy. Sounds great. I don't have any time. My life's crazy right now. You know, I'm exhausted. I barely have time for my kids. You know, I don't want to quit my job. I get to bed at midnight as it is, blah, 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 blah. People are busy. I mean, I see people texting in the urinals, in the men's room. I mean, people are busy, 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 and we're going to talk about, in this crazy world that we live in, how to address people who are busy. The next is, I don't have any money. So, sounds great, I just can't afford it, money's tight right now, you know, how much money are we talking about right now, I'm behind on my credit card bills. If my wife or my husband found out, they'd kill me. I'm broke. You know, so those sorts of things are real-world situations, especially in this economy, where people say, hey, product looks good, it looks interesting, but I don't have any money to really get started right now. And the last one is I'm not a good salesperson. I don't want to sell to my friends and family. I don't know a lot of people. You know, I don't see myself harassing others or, you know, I don't like sales. So those are the four things that I hear more often than not that come up in conversations, or oftentimes may not come up, but people are thinking them. And so when they can't say yes, they're, you know, not saying yes because of one of those four things. I hope that some of those sound familiar, because if they do sound familiar, that means you're asking good questions or you're talking to lots of people that are, you know, really doing the due diligence. If those questions don't sound familiar, then chances are you're not digging hard enough or asking enough questions or talking to enough people to really move your business forward. So let's go through each of those four questions. And what are some potential responses to people who have these concerns? So the first one was, is this one of those MLM deals? Is this network marketing? Is this like Amway? And this is where I think asking a question to a question is really most effective. So I don't want you to come across as sarcastic or skeptical or difficult, but if somebody says, hey, is this network marketing? I would say, you know, what's your experience with network marketing? Have you been in network marketing before? And so that helps you to uncover whether they've never been in network marketing, but they heard it's bad, their cousin, their brother, their friend has been in network marketing, or whether or not they've had a bad experience. And so if they've had a bad experience, you can find out, well, tell me about that company. You know, you're trying to help them. You're trying to understand, oh, well, you know, the product stunk and blah, 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 or, you know, the company went under or blah, 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 blah. And then you can say, well, hey, our company's not going under. We've been around for a long time. We manufacture products for other companies. We have a full line of products. We manufacture ourselves. So you can start to handle the objection, answer the question, have somebody look at something in a different way so that they can, you know, make the evaluation based on new information. Just because one network marketing company goes out of business doesn't mean they're all going to go out of business. So asking a question with a question, especially in that one, I think sets the tone for a good direction. So Amy, if you're listening in, that's always a good thing to do with the kids, is if they ask you a question, is ask a question with a question, and sometimes you can get them to come up with their own solution. You know, another thing that I like to say, you know, rather than getting into all the facts and figures and getting into a debate and an argument, which never works, is to say, listen, I don't make money if you don't make money. So I get paid to help you succeed. That's why I chose to work with you, is because I think you're going to be great at this business. I'm really excited to work with you, and that's why I called you. That's why I met with you, is because I think this is going to be a really good thing for you. So, you know, I mean, there's definitely a lot of facts and figures about, you know, why network marketing works. The DSA says that worldwide direct sales revenues have gone up every single year that they've ever kept track. When the economy is good, home-based businesses do good. When the economy is bad, home-based businesses do better. So, you know, right now in this tough economy, it's a great way to distribute products. I mean, so some companies use store shelves, some use catalogs, some use vending machines, and we think it's just better to pay people to talk about our products and to experience the products. So that's, you know, that's the first thing that I think is important, is when somebody says, hey, is this network marketing, you know, to ask them what they know, what they experience about it, and then from there to, you know, to break it down. The second is I'm too busy. You know, I don't have enough time, you know, I barely see my kids, those sorts of things. So, you know, one of the things that's great about this business is that you can leverage other people's time. So, you know, this is about a lot of people doing a little bit. That's what this is. So if somebody doesn't have a lot of time, let's go find a lot of other people, or let's go find a few other people who have a little bit of time. And that's something that's unique about this business model. So if you wanted to get a part-time job, you're going to be trading dollars for hours, hours for dollars. This is the sort of business that's highly leveraged, So you don't have to trade dollars for hours, hours for dollars. Eventually, as you build up a team, you're going to get paid on the efforts of other people. So you can enroll people who have more time than you do, and you can start to enroll lots of people. So, you know, I think realistically, if somebody can commit to 2, 3, 4 hours a week consistently, they'll have plenty of time over the long term to have success. So, you know, if somebody says, I have no time, I have zero time, this is not going to work for me, there's no point in debating. But if you can give them a different way of looking at it, then maybe they can, you know, have a better perspective. And if you're really following that pipeline system where you're handing out samples to them, you're directing them to the website and the sizzle call, and then you're having a conversation, they should be seriously considering the business opportunity, and you only spend 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes talking with them. So if you spend hours and hours and hours trying to convince them and email them and talk to them and all this sort of stuff, well then, you know, it's going to be hard for you to say, hey, this business doesn't take a lot of time. But if they tried the sample, they enjoyed the sample, they heard a little 3-minute sizzle call, and now you're saying, hey, you know, does this sound interesting to you? And they're saying, I don't have a lot of time. You can come back and say, well, how much time did I spend with you to get to this point? Yeah, not that much. So that's a great way to approach the I don't have a lot of time. And then we can talk to the cousin of I don't have a lot of time, which is I don't have a lot of money. And, you know, especially in this economy, that's a realistic situation for many people. And unfortunately, it's a situation for people who 2 years ago, 3 years ago, did have a decent amount of money. So, you know, one of the things is if you're having that conversation up front, you know, if you're saying, hey, can I give you some samples? And when you look at a website and they say, you know, no thanks, I don't really have any money. Say, listen, it doesn't cost any money to check it out. So, you know, you might learn something, you might see something that sparks your imagination. But if you're having a conversation on the back end, you know, this is one of those businesses where you can literally be in profit in 30 to 60 days. So we don't want to talk about get rich quick, but we do want to talk about getting profit quick. And so if somebody could share this product with 10, 12, 16, 20 people, and 2, 3, 4 of them enroll, they're going to be in profit. And so now they have a business that's earning them money. And when we talk about a business that earns them money, it's not only from the income from the network marketing side of things, it's also the tax benefits. I'm here in Vegas. I spent a couple $100 on an airfare, a couple $100 on hotel, a couple $100 on food. You know, if you just use a nice easy number like 33% tax bracket, you know, if I spend $600 or $900, you know, that's $200 or $300 that I can write off. I mean, I'm going to write off the whole thing, $600 or $900, and $200 to $300 of it really comes back to me in the form of a rebate. So, you know, before we even make money, we can make money. If this is your only home-based business, or if the person who's looking at this is going to be their only home-based business, they can save money on cell phones and internet service and printer ink and all sorts of little things that end up offsetting the costs of their business so that they can literally be getting their nutrition for free at the very least. So it's almost like getting a running head start in regards to money. And, you know, this is the type of business that's for the 99% of us who don't have franchise-type money. So if somebody wants to get ahead in the world, yeah, it'd be nice to own a McDonald's or a Starbucks or an Applebee's or something like that. But, you know, it's not easy to open up a restaurant or a business that has a physical location. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and more often than not, to really be successful, you have to quit your job, and that takes a huge amount of additional money and additional risk. So this is one of those situations where somebody can have a very low-risk way of getting into business. And, you know, if somebody's money is really this tight, and this just depends on how well you know somebody, you know, hey, I want to help you, you know, get out of this situation, and this is something I think that might help. You know, and so, again, if you have that helpful perspective, then it's something that really can if they feel like you're on their team, then they're going to take a listen to it much more closely. As one of my mentors said, you know, people listen to the music as much as the words. So when they know that you're truthful, they know that you're honest, they understand that you empathize with them. But you don't want to empathize with them to the point where you're starting to wallow in it with them. So they're looking for somebody to throw them a lifeline. They're looking for somebody to help them out of it. So you need to be coming from a place which is, hey, I understand what it's like. It's tough not having a lot of money, but let's go make a list of people that you think do have money. Let's go leverage other people's money. Let's leverage other people's time to go and have some success. The last one of the four objections, the four big ones, is I'm not a salesperson. And so, again, depending on how well you know this person, one of the things that I think is so funny is oftentimes they'll do a great selling job of telling you how bad of a salesperson they are. So you can just point that out to them. Hey, you've done a great job of telling me how bad of a salesperson you are. In fact, I think you're a good salesperson because you almost had me sold. So, you know, we really don't sell, and we just hand out samples and direct people to information. We act as tour guides. And I know that sounds hokey, but the more that you live that, the more that you do that the right way, the more that people are going to really see that and feel that. So if you spend a lot of time selling them, then they're not going to believe that they don't have to be a salesperson themselves. Also, this is another place where it's not bad to ask a question like, why don't you like sales? And more often than not, people are going to say something like, you know, I don't like harassing people. I don't like selling to my friends and family. I don't like to, you know, I don't like to be pushy. And that's where you can really say, hey, was I pushy with you? You know, I gave you some samples. I directed you to a website. You got to meet this guy, Dave Sandoval. He's really cool. They're making some great products. And I just thought this would help your health. And the information out there is so scary. The number one, I just learned this, the number one selling item in the grocery stores, carbonated beverages, basically sugar water. You know, I mean, high fructose corn syrup or aspartame with artificial ingredients, artificial flavors, artificial colors is the number one selling grocery store item in the world or in the United States. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say that we need to live differently, and I know that everyone on this phone call believes that. And so, you know, if that passion and that enthusiasm comes through and that you're focused on people who will have that same passion and enthusiasm, it becomes a lot easier to communicate that. And so, you know, the standard response, which I think also works, is, you know, have you ever recommended a restaurant or a movie or a book? And did you get a commission? And I know a lot of people who have recommended to me, you know, iPads and different phone types, and they recommend movies and all sorts of stuff. I mean, most of my friends at one point or another have recommended one or two or three or five things. And especially in today's day and age with texting and Facebook and Twittering and all that kind of stuff, more and more people are becoming publishers. They're becoming pretty bold and living fairly public lives about what they like and what they don't like. In fact, when you know, to have a Facebook fan page or whatever, you know, David likes or David does not like this thing. I mean, it's becoming the way of the world. So, you know, everyone's a salesperson, everybody's a publisher, and you might as well get paid for it. You might as well be promoting something that's positive. And that's what I think the Purium is something that's positive. And so the last objection, kind of the extra credit objection that sometimes comes up, is I got to think about it. And to me, if you've got them to that point, then you're at a great point. So a lot of people get scared of that comment. But to me, it's like, well, good. You know, I'm going to be here. I'm excited about this opportunity. It's not going anywhere. And, you know, is there any other information I can provide for you? You know, what are you thinking about? You know, what are your concerns? So, I mean, that's another good place to just say, hey, you know, what else can I help you with? What else can I present to you a different way of looking at so that you make the best decision for yourself? But I do think it's important that you ask somebody because they've kind of painted themselves in the corner, which is, I need to think about it. Well, that's not an infinite amount of time. I mean, for somebody to think over something on the outside is going to be weeks. I mean, when we're talking about a situation that costs them $100, I think it's very unrealistic that somebody would say, you know, I need months to think about it. The only time might be, you know, if it's around Thanksgiving and they say, hey, get back to me at the new year or after Christmas or whatever. But so what? You know, 6 weeks from now, you're still going to be there. They're still going to be there. And, you know, it's something that is always going to be available to them. So if somebody says, I need to think about it or I need to talk to my spouse, you know, just say, hey, I'm available. I'm happy to answer any questions, give you more samples, fill you in, help you to understand how this might work or that might work, or create a game plan or help you with your list or help you understand a compensation plan, or, you know, what can I do to help you to make that right decision, because I really think it's right for you. And that sort of conversation goes a long way. So, you know, we're not salespeople. We don't make the hard sell. We don't need their business today or this week or, you know, this month. We just want to help them. And, you know, as this person is thinking about it, then go on to the next person. But don't forget about the person who's thinking about it, because ultimately the most important question you need to ask is, you know, are you going to get started? You know, can we do this? Let's do this together. I'd love for you to be on my team. Can we make this happen? And so, you know, oftentimes people would say yes to that question, but it's never asked. You know, and so, you know, make sure you follow up appropriately, follow up professionally, follow up with purpose, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about here in the next few weeks is follow up and how to do that the right way. But hopefully this gives you some more perspective and some more ideas about how to handle objections and what some of the things you might hear, and hopefully you're hearing them already, and that's a good thing. As I said, the more that you hear these objections, the more that you're talking to the right people and the more you're asking good questions. So don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of no's. Just be diligent and present the information in a positive way, and you'll get a lot of yeses. So that's it for this evening, Amy, and everybody out there, thanks so much. Every Thursday night we have a business opportunity presentation, same time, same number. Invite some guests, and we'll talk a little bit about you know, how this business works and give people a good perspective on what we do, and hopefully after that call you'll be able to have some enrollment conversations where you can ask somebody, hey, if you liked what you heard, are you ready to join? And when they say, I don't have any time, sounds good, then you know what to say. Thanks, everybody. We will catch you on Thursday night. Good night. Bye now.